is Tuesday, the 3rd of April, 2018, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Geeky Gay. This is a little personal journal podcast about my life as a gay geek and what I do in it. So if you like personal journals, you've tuned in to the right show. So it's been a little while since I recorded last, but the reason for that is the trip just got completely crazy when I basically joined Mark in the Philippines. And I did record one episode in the Philippines from the first kind of resort that we went to. But after that, I really didn't have time to record. We were just running around from place to place, and he was always with me, and it just wasn't, there was never a good time to record. And then when I got back from the trip, it was, I was trying to recover and then go back to work and start my new job, and, you know, just one thing led to the other, and, I had Pride 48 stuff to do. And, you know, excuses for why we don't get our shows recorded. So I am now recording this one in the car just because I want to get this out there and, get back started, on the regular little show. So anyway, we are going to go back over the vacation. I mean, we're going to finish up the recaps of the vacation because I want to tell you guys, a few things that happened on the vacation. So I don't remember exactly where we left off because it's been a few weeks since I recorded that episode. However, I'm going to make a good guess at where we were, and hopefully that will be correct. So I think we had finished up London, and I'm going to tell a little story. So basically, in London, Monday, I kind of hung out and did nothing until Monday night, I had dinner with Nathan. We went to a nice steakhouse and had a lovely dinner. And and then, I took him to the train because he had to get back home because he, he's working now. And so he needed to get there, get to the train because it's like a 45-minute train ride back to his house. And then on Tuesday, I don't remember what I did during the day on Tuesday, to be honest, but I know that Tuesday night I went to that musical, and then I can't remember, I think Tuesday was when I met Paul, and then I went to the musical that night, and Tuesday was really busy. I do remember what I did. So, yeah, and I believe I've already told you guys about this, but on Tuesday I went to the Harry Potter exhibit, or the Harry Potter studio tour, and then I rushed back to the museum, the British Museum, and met Paul, and we had a nice chat and had coffee, and, well, I had hot chocolate. I don't remember. I think he might have had hot chocolate as well. And a little pastry, and we chatted until he had to get his train back home. And then I watched the musical Tuesday night, and then Wednesday was the flight. So my plan for Wednesday was, I was like, okay, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to get ready, and I'm going to do a little, a tube tour of London, of the places that I lived when I was there, when I lived in London, because I hadn't done that yet, and I thought, I just want to go, like, back to the school that I, to the, kind of the dorm. It's not really a dorm, but it's hard to describe. The place where I lived when I was there, I want to see if that's still there, where we took classes, the Kensington and Chelsea, the park there, that was there when, there before there was a college. Nathan and I always used to go to Canary Wharf, which is a business area of London, because You know, Canary Wharf was the place where they had a Chili's and an Outback Steakhouse. And, you know, when I wanted something that tasted similar to American food, we would go to Canary Wharf and, you know, have dinner or whatever. In fact, I believe he took the birthday that I had when I was living in England. I believe that's where he took me. To Outback Steakhouse or something like that. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to go to Canary Wharf. I wanted to go to my old tube station that I used, Gloucester Road Station, and see if that looked the same. I wanted to take a bunch of photos and stuff like that. And then I was going to go back to the hotel and figure out how I was going to get to the airport. So I got up in the morning. I probably didn't get up super early. I think I got up at 9 or 10 and got ready, checked out of the hotel by 11 or 12. I can't remember exactly what time, but checked out of the hotel. They were able to store my bag, so that was good. And then I started on my little journey. So I thought, okay, well, I'll catch the tube. So I had to walk about 15 minutes to the tube station, and I will go to Canary Wharf first. I thought maybe I'll eat lunch at Canary Wharf. And so I got the tube and I went to Canary Wharf, and it was probably, I don't know, half an hour or so, because I had to change trains at least once. I can't remember exactly how many times. And I decided to eat lunch because those of you who know me know I love like food and celebrity chefs, especially those that have been on TV. So like, you know, any Food Network chefs, Cooking Channel chefs, even British chefs that are on TV like Nigella, or, but I don't think she has any restaurants. But anyway, anyone that's like, you know, a celebrity chef. So I noticed that Jamie Oliver, who, the reason I know Jamie Oliver is because he used to have a show. And I don't remember if it came on Food Network or if it came on the public broadcast station or PBS, as everyone knows it. But he had this show called The Naked Chef. And Jamie Oliver is cute, or at least I think he's cute. And back in the day, he was really cute. He's gotten older now. Not that you can't be old and cute, but, you know, back in the day when he was really young, I was pretty taken with Jamie Oliver. And because his show was called The Naked Chef, at first I thought, I wonder if he, like, cooks shirtless or something. Because I knew it was a British show, and in England they allow nudity on TV. So I thought, oh, maybe he really is cooking nude, since this is coming from England. And so anyway, he wasn't cooking nude. It had nothing to do with how many clothes he had on, but a catchy title, I guess. And so I knew of him from that show. And then he's done a few other shows here in the States. The most recent one that I remember had, I don't remember exactly what went on, but it had something to do with school lunches and school lunches being better. So like he would go to schools and he would redesign their menu and talk to the kids about healthy eating and teach them how to cook something. And I remember it being like a short season, so it wasn't a whole lot of episodes. And I think he only did one season. So I thought, okay, well, he has a restaurant in Canary Wharf. Jamie's Italian, so I'll go eat there. So I found that I went to Canary Wharf Station, which is a huge tube station. Has this really tall escalator, because it's to get up to the main level. And then there's a couple of malls there, and it's like a business area. So it's almost like the Wall Street of London. It's like where a lot of the financial stuff is. But they have malls as well. So I found Jamie's Italian, and I went in, and I ordered. And I had some really good, I think it was pappardelle. I don't remember. They had a nice bread plate with all these different homemade breads, and that's what I had for lunch. And I had some kind of mixed lemonade sort of thing to drink. And then, you know, and then I, after I ate lunch, I went around and got back to the tube, and then decided to go, you know, where I actually lived when I was in London. And walked around. Well, I was having such a good time walking around that my plane was leaving around 8:30 in the evening, but I needed to, I thought, well, I need to get back to the hotel by 4 and then get an Uber or something, figure out exactly how I'm going to get back to the train, or to the airport. Because I wanted to be at the airport 2 hours early, because that, you know, this was the flight from London to Manila. And so I was having such a good time taking pictures and reminiscing and walking around, and the sun came out. I think it was the first day that the sun actually came out, and it was really nice outside, and I was taking some beautiful pictures at the park, and I lost track of time. I mean, I didn't lose track of time, but I looked down and I was like, oh, it's already 4 o'clock. I wasn't going to be back at the hotel by 4, but I thought, well, you know, really, I don't have to be at the airport until 6. I figure it'll take an hour to get from the airport to the, or from the hotel to the airport. And, you know, I'll get back to the hotel by 5. So I ran around and got a few more pictures and got, I think I got the tube by like 4:30, because I figured it was going to take, like half an hour to get back to the hotel. So I was able to get back to the hotel by 5 o'clock, and then I got my luggage out of storage, and I called an Uber, or I went on the Uber app and I found an Uber. But by the time the Uber got to me, it was like 5:15, and I thought, oh, I'm still good, you know, I'm still good. Maybe I'll get there by 6:15, 6:30, but you know, that still gives me an hour and a half. I should be able to check in, no problem. It's an evening flight, so I figured, you know, it's going to be less busy because not as many people are going to be taking, like, a red-eye type flight. And so I got the Uber, and as soon as I got in the car, he was like, oh, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going to Heathrow. And he's like, oh, what time's your flight? Because this is rush hour, and, you know, he's like, you know, I'll do my best to get you there. And then I started to worry. And now I seem to remember I covered this on the last episode. But anyway, this will be another recap. Sorry for those who, you know, remember this. So anyway, I was really worried. So I called the airline and asked them, you know, if I should miss my flight or if I should miss the check-in. First, I asked them, you know, what's the cutoff for checking in? Because I know that airlines have a cutoff. Like if you're for domestic flights, usually it's, you have to be there 30 minutes before the flight. And I wasn't sure for international flights because it's, you know, it had been a while since I had taken international flights. And they said, that's the first thing I asked them. And they said, oh, the cutoff's an hour before. So she's like, you have to be there by, I think if the flight was at 8:30, you have to check in by 7:30. And I said, okay, well, should I miss that time? You know, what can I do? You know, can I rebook it for a fee or something like that? So she looked, and it turns out that because I had bought the cheapest tickets, they were non-refundable and non-changeable. So not only could I not, you know, get it refunded or get a new ticket, I couldn't even change it and pay a fee. And so if I had missed it, I would just be screwed. I'd have to buy a new ticket. And, you know, and as you guys remember, this had happened to me in Arkansas on my very first flight. I was running late. So I was like, oh God, it's happening again. You know, here I am running late again. And finally, I just had to say, okay, well, thank you, you know, and then I had to just kind of hope and pray that we were going to make it there on time. Well, traffic was horrible. I mean, I think we went 5 miles in maybe half an hour. It was crazy. And it was like a parking lot. Because, you know, this was 5:30, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, which is rush hour. And really, it's only about 15 miles between my hotel and Heathrow Airport. But because of the fact that it was, you know, rush hour, it was just a bad decision. So we did get there. We got there about 6:55. And so I did have about 25 minutes to spare. So I was able to check in and, you know, the person at the gate agent was really sweet. And she was like, "Oh, bless. Well, you're here now. Don't worry. You have plenty of time." So I went through security and then, I was able to get on my flight. So the flight was Air China. And basically what I'll say about it is, I managed to, even though I didn't actually reserve my seats, because that, I believe that cost extra, I was able to get aisle seats for all of my flights. And so that was, all of my flights, all the flights to Manila, the flight back, all the flights back home, I was able to get. But I love aisle seats. I don't want to sit in the middle, and I really don't want to sit by the window, because I've flown so much, I know what it looks like. You know, when you first start flying and you want to look out the window. And now, you know, I glance out the window just across someone's shoulder, but I don't feel the need to sit next to the window. And so, so I got that. The flight was relatively, you know, uneventful. I will say that the Asian airlines appear to hire more attractive and skinnier flight attendants than we do in the U.S., and younger, because they were all young and thin and beautiful, you know, model looking, and they all had like their hair done the same way for the women. And, you know, it was interesting. But, anyway, so I had the 10-hour flight from London to Beijing. And the only thing that really happened on that, I mean, I watched a whole lot of Netflix because I had loaded my iPad with probably 40 hours worth of Netflix. I watched this new show called Nailed It, which is a baking competition on Netflix. I finished up Altered Carbon and watched One Day at a Time. And anyway, so, you know, they fed us a couple of times. The food was pretty nondescript. The only thing that happened was I asked for the chicken because I don't eat seafood. And I asked for the chicken, and I didn't realize they had a chicken option and a fish option. And I didn't realize that both of them had this couscous salad that had shrimp on it. And so I was so hungry, though, that I went ahead and ate it. And actually, there were those, like, the tiniest little shrimp you can imagine. And so you didn't even really taste them. And so I just kind of ate it. And then the guy next to me saw that I was enjoying my couscous salad with shrimp. And he's like, "Hey man, do you want mine?" And I was like, "No, I don't really like shrimp. I'm just hungry." So, he's like, "Oh, okay." And he was, he was cute. He was either South African or British. He spoke English. I mean, English was obviously his first language. And he had a British-sounding accent, but it almost sounded a little bit more South African. The reason I can kind of recognize a South African accent is because when I first moved to London, before I met Nathan, I dated briefly a South African guy. And so I kind of understand a South African accent. So the flight got to Beijing, and then the big deal for me was figuring out what to do, because I've never been to China, I've never been to the Beijing airport, and I needed to get from my I needed to get from my plane to the next plane, and I knew there was going to be some kind of checks, some kind of immigration, you know, something. And so I get to the main area where there's immigration and there's transferring planes. And luckily, there, you know, everything is in English and Chinese, so I don't need, like, a, you know, a Chinese translator or anything like that. But I was really confused about, okay, which was the immigration line, like, to go into the country, and which was the line that you needed to get in just to change planes. And there was this really long line, you know, and then there was this other area that didn't have a line at all. And I was really confused, and so I thought, well, I bet it's this long line. I even asked a couple of people. There were some flight attendants from, like, Emirates airline, and they noticed that I was looking really confused, and so they asked me, you know, can we help you? And so I said, well, I'm just trying to figure out what line to get in. She said, well, I think this is the line you'll get in. And it was super long. I mean, a super long line. And I had a pretty good layover. I think I had 3 hours, so I was okay, but I got in this line. And I was probably in that line 45 minutes. And there were some airport, I don't know if they were TSA. Well, it's not TSA, obviously, because it's China, but I don't know if they were security or, you know, what they were, but they were checking people to kind of make sure they were in the right line and make sure they knew what they were doing. And I asked him, I said, I'm just transferring planes. I'm not actually getting out. I'm not actually getting out at the airport. Is this the right line? And at this point, I had been standing in this line for like 45 minutes. And he said, oh, no, you just need to go over there to that yellow sign. And that was the one where there was no line when I first, you know, was looking at the two lines. And now, of course, a line had formed there. It wasn't a huge long line, but there was a line. It was probably another 20 minutes. So I got out of the big long line, went to the other line, and you have to, basically, you show them your passport, you know, tell them where you're going, et cetera, et cetera. Then you have to go back through security, and you have to rescan your carry-on. Luckily, you don't have to, like, get your bag and then, like, rescan that as well, but you do have to rescan your carry-on. So then, you know, I got a little drink or something. One thing I noticed about the, and maybe I just didn't go to the right place, but there weren't a lot of restaurants in the terminal that I was in. It was mostly vending machines, and they had vending machines with, like, big cups of ramen noodles and, like, all this kind of stuff. And I couldn't really read them, and I, like, even to get a drink, I wasn't really sure, because it wasn't like Coke and Pepsi and, you know, something like that. It was some other drinks that I was unfamiliar with, so I didn't really, but I did, well, I was able to find a little coffee shop that I think had Diet Coke or something. So then I waited for my flight, and then, you know, the next flight was from Beijing to Manila, and that was only about a 4-hour flight. So that one, nothing really memorable happened on that one, and I made it just fine. And then I had to go through immigration in the Philippines and in the Manila airport. So that took maybe 45 minutes. And Mark was waiting for me. And so Mark, we got a taxi, and, you know, no big deal there. Got to our hotel. And the first thing I notice is that everything, all of the buildings, the mall, shopping malls, hotels, all the places like that in the Philippines had security guards at the entrance. And they, you know, they would, if you had bags, they wanted to check your bag and all that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing about it is that they have these little sticks that they use to, like, supposedly to rummage through your bag. And They don't, I mean, most of them have, they look like little drumsticks, like little snare drumsticks. And they don't really do a very thorough job of looking in your bag. Like, they just kind of, most of them, as you're walking through the line, they'll just touch the stick to your bag and that's it. They won't even put the stick down in your bag. And apparently, especially if you're white, if you're like American or you look American, they won't really be very thorough because they just assume that you're not doing anything, you know, illegal. And so I found, and so Mark told me that these sticks that they have, they refer to them as magic sticks because that's how they do with most people. They just kind of touch the bag to the, or they touch the stick to the bag. They don't even do any kind of a thorough job looking through it. And he said, you know, that's just very common that they just act like they're looking, but they don't really look. He said, so they refer to those sticks as magic sticks. Like, the magic sticks can tell if there's anything dangerous in your bag. And so, we basically went to bed because it was late. And luckily I was able to sleep because I had made myself stay awake the entire, I don't know, it was, I guess it was probably a, I don't know, 20-hour journey from London to Manila, if I include the layover and everything. I didn't sleep on either one of the planes because I wanted to be really tired when I got there. And that worked. So I was able to go right to sleep. And the next morning we got up, we went and had lunch, and then we just kind of toured around the mall. He said he didn't want to take me to a lot of places in Manila because of the traffic. And so he just kept me in the kind of business district area. And so we looked around the mall, you know, we did some stuff. And then we had a dinner that night with his work friends. So, and it was really good. Now, I've had a lot of Filipino food here with his friends because they have Filipino parties all the time. But this Filipino food was super good. Like, you know, I mean, it was like, you know, because this is a professional restaurant, so, you know, the food's probably going to be a little bit more flavorful, I would say. Because I kind of got the impression that a lot of the stuff that I ate was kind of bland. Well, this was not an Americanized restaurant at all. This was a Filipino restaurant, but there's this one dish called sinigang. It's just a really sour soup that I never like when I have it at parties here. And they had a watermelon sinigang at this place that was kind of a sweet and sour. It was so good. We had adobo. Like, everything was very garlicky and very flavorful and very tasty. It was super good. And then I started wondering, oh, I wonder if the friends are not very good cooks. And I'm sure they are, but I mean, I was just wondering, you know, man, I really love this. Like, this food is super good. And then, so anyway, we did that. And then the next morning, we played Cards Against Humanity. He had brought that for one of his friends who had requested it from America. I guess they couldn't get it in the Philippines. I'm not sure. And I won one of the rounds. I've never played that game, and I won one of the rounds. It was really cool. And then the next day, we went to a market, like a farmer's market. And I was such an American. Ugh, oh my God. I told him, I'm like, well, I'm a little bit nervous about eating lunch here because you're always told in America when you visit foreign countries and you go to these kind of street food type places to be very careful about what you eat. Don't drink any water that, you know, that may be suspect, like all this kind of, you know, and I'm sure it was so rude for me to say that to him anyway. But I picked something that I felt semi-comfortable. I was like, so I really want to find, I don't want to drink these mixed drink, like the lemonades and stuff that are in canisters that they've mixed, you know. And he's like, okay, Mr. American, you know, do whatever you want to do. I don't want your, you know, your precious stomach to have problems or whatever. And so I found some food that was okay. And then we ate with his friend Ging, who had met us there, and her husband. And I just had some kind of, like, I don't even remember. I think it was like a steak sandwich or something. And so it was good. And then she took us. The next thing that we had to do was we were going to another one of his friends who's pregnant at the moment, and we were going to go to her house because she was supposed to stay at home. Her doctor had said she was supposed to rest. And her husband is German, and he was going to cook us a little lunch. And this was a crazy thing, because the original plan was she was going to provide cake and coffee, you know, something like that. So we were going to go and have brunch at this farmer's market, and then we were going to go to her house for lunch. Well, because the time ended up being around noon, Filipinos really are like, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but like they want to do everything right and be nice, and you know, they don't want to have any, you know, shame for not serving you correctly when you go to their house and like all this kind of stuff. So she got, I don't know, worried that they needed to cook lunch, because it ended up we were going to be there at, you know, at lunchtime. And so she finally was like, oh, no, guys, we're going to cook lunch. Don't worry. So it ended up that we ate. It took about an hour to get to her house, and then maybe another 45 minutes for that food to be ready. So 2 hours later, we ate a second lunch, and it was really good. I mean, her husband actually cooked. He's German, and he made beef stroganoff, and he actually made the pasta himself. So it was like homemade pasta, and it was super good. And they have a little daughter, and she's really cute. And that was fun. We had a really nice chat, and you know, talking about, you know, their visits to Germany, and her husband's loves to go hiking and backpacking, so we had a nice chat about that. And then basically, after we ate, we were there for a couple of hours, and then we got back in the car, and Ging took us back to our hotel. So I'm going to leave it there for now, because, man, this took a lot longer than I thought. But basically, that was Manila. I didn't mention, you know, before we played Cards Against Humanity, we, like, walked around for 45 minutes looking for a coffee shop that was open. And, you know, so I got a little bit of a tour, you know, just walking around at 11 o'clock at night. But anyway, so then we basically went back to the hotel to get ready and take our flight to our next destination. So I'm going to leave it there, and we're going to end it here. And then on the next episode, we'll finish up the Philippines, hopefully. It may take two, as long as I'm taking describing every little minuscule detail and the non-important stuff as well, it may take two more episodes to get through the trip. But I'm going to end this one here, because it's been quite a long episode. So for more information and episodes about the show, you can go to geekygay.com. You can call me, 229-234-7587. You can email adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly shows over at pride48.com. And I will see you guys hopefully on Thursday in the next episode. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.